Most of you know that I've had the privilege of serving in our youth ministry before I was the English pastor of this church for many years. And it's just such a joy to live and serve with youth. And just, like, I'm envious of whoever our youth pastor, future youth pastor will be, because they're walking into a great situation with lots of wonderful teens. And I remember, I think a couple of years ago, when Stephen was still a youth. Stephen here this morning. Let's not point him out. But I remember a couple of years ago when he was first learning to lead worship, and it was through our youth ministry where he was serving as one of the worship leaders, and we had just inherited from the Chinese congregation what used to be the primary soundboard in our sound room. It was inherited upstairs, and nobody knew how to really use it. And so we were trying to get ready, and I get so excited every Friday night when I used to lead youth ministry, just really revved up and pumped up to get things going, because it's always a lot of fun, a lot of energy every Friday night with kids. And Stephen was trying to figure out how in the world to get the soundboard working. And so, you know, he had his guitar plugged in and the microphone, and one thing was working. And so we were madly scrambling about 10 minutes before the program was supposed to start, because he was going to lead off with worship that night, and we're plugging things in and trying to, well, maybe it's this combination. Maybe we'll put the mic wire here. Oh, no, maybe we should remove the guitar wire. And we're moving things, scrambling back and forth. And you know, I don't know why he would ask me to do it, just because I'm the leader. I have no technological ability. Anybody who knows me knows that I'm like the equivalent of a technological idiot. When I touch things, they break. And so, you know, I was staring madly at this thing, and we're sitting there taking jacks and plugging them in here and there, and you know, tears were starting to form in my eyes, because I was like, I don't want to be here. And fortunately, Ben was there that night, who had a lot of experience with our Sunday worship stuff, and said, please, Ben, make it work. And he just comes over and unplugs one thing, plugs it into the right jack, and then, lo and behold, guitar works. After spending about a good 15, 20 minutes, like, playing musical jacks. And, you know, this is the problem a lot of times, not just with when you're technologically deficient, like myself, but a lot of times we are trying in life to receive something, to get something working, but we're plugging in to the wrong jacks. A lot of times we're trying to plug ourselves into the wrong things. We've been talking about, as we started this series, on becoming all that God intended, how imperfect people become all that God intended. As we've been talking about this, we've been talking about experiencing those spiritual qualities in life. And when I'm talking about spiritual qualities, I'm talking about things like contentment, real contentment, fulfillment, joy. Not that kind of religious thing that we always talk about, but real joy that you and I long to experience. Peace, regardless of our circumstances that are swirling around us, whether we suffer from difficult circumstances, whether we suffer from diseases or poor health, that there's a peace that can come from Christ. And so these are the type of spiritual qualities we're talking about. And a lot of times, unfortunately, every single one of us, whether you are not a Christian or a Christian, a lot of times we try to plug in to the wrong thing to experience that kind of life. For some of us, sometimes we waste our time plugging into pornography or lust in order to fulfill a sense of happiness, that we want to find a temporary something that we think is what we want to give us happiness and joy, but it doesn't fill us the right way. For some of us, it may be things like finding financial security or finding our security in our career. But we're plugging into the wrong things in order to give us real life and give us fulfillment and all those spiritual qualities that we're talking about. And so the truth is, for most of us, a lot of times, even those of us who are Christians who say we know better, we often plug our lives into the wrong thing in order to get the life that we're trying to receive. Now, you may remember in the first couple parts of this series, we considered, what do we want? What is the thirst and desires of our heart? And then we also talked about, what does God want? That He longs for our faithfulness as a husband to a wife. And this week we're going to talk about how to reorient your life in Christ so that we plug into the right thing and receive the life that God intends for us. But before we do, let's pray. God, our Father, we want to thank You for Your deep love for us. And this morning, we want to praise You and thank You that You are the one who fills every deep longing. And this morning, Lord, we ask that You would help us. We got a lot of our wires crossed and messed up, and we're trying to jack into all the wrong things. And even sometimes when we seek the good things in life, we tend to seek after the blessing instead of seeking after the blessing. And we get it all backwards because we don't remember that when we seek you, all the other good things fall into place. So this morning, Lord, we ask that you would help us. Help us to reorient ourselves. Help us to face in the right direction and get plugged in the right connection so that we might experience the life that you intend for us. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have a Bible, you'll want to turn in it to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. While you're turning there, you may remember we just started this series, How Imperfect People Become All That God Intended. And we're answering the question, what if the deepest longing sewn into the fabric of our souls is to express and experience the love of the greatest, most caring, most beautiful, most knowledgeable being in the universe? And we're discovering how imperfect people do life with the one who loves you more than any other. And so, as we've been exploring this, we're going to look at John chapter 15, just the first 11 verses. And what this is, let me set the stage for you, is Jesus giving one of his speeches. Now, there's several lengthy discourses that he gives throughout the book of John, but this is the final of his lengthy speeches. It's Christ's equivalent to giving a farewell address, basically. And so what he's sharing with his followers is what is most important for imperfect disciples to hear and to live out so that they don't become discouraged or give up when he is gone. And so I think there's a lot of life relevancy for us as we think about being imperfect people just as Christ's original followers were and what it would look like to be encouraged by him to live out and experience all that he intends for us. And so in John chapter 15, it's broken up into three sections, and we're only going to look at the first one. But I want you to hear the context. There's a connection between all three. The first 11 verses that we look at, there's a connection between the disciples' relationship, first of all, to Christ. And in the second section, it's the connection between the relationship with Christ and their relationship with each other. And in the last section, there's also a connection between their relationship with him, their connection to him, to each other, and then to the world around them. And so we're going to look at the first part about their connection with Christ. And so what we're going to discover is that, you know, Jesus knew how easily the central idea of doing life with God can get lost in religious activity, in busyness, and the worries of life. And so what he's doing here is he's going to paint a word picture for us and for his followers. I want you to imagine that Jesus and his disciples are walking through a vineyard. A great vineyard, maybe like in Napa Valley, and he sees a vine, a big, thick vine with lots of healthy fruit and branches attached to it. And he wants to illustrate to his disciples what matters most. And so he paints a picture of how life really works the way that we were designed by God. And so let's look at John chapter 15, verse 1. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already pruned because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Let's stop right there. What we see is that in verse 1, that Jesus describes himself as the main central, healthy vine from which all the branches, the rest of the branches, in other words, like his followers and his disciples, people like you and I, must connect in order to grow and flourish. And he describes his Father, God the Father, as the vine dresser, the one who tends and takes care of the whole vineyard, which represents people in general. And so in verse 2, we see that there are two types of people. The first is unfruitful people. In other words, people who are broken, have their connection disconnected from God, and that these branches are removed. But then there's another group, that those who bear spiritual fruit from God in their lives, which are continually being cultivated and nurtured and cared for by God the Father. And in verse 3, he talks about how those who hear and follow the words of life in Christ, in other words, his followers, his disciples, are already clean and pruned by this Father. And so the picture that we're getting here is that there's lots of branches spread throughout this vineyard, lots of grapes. Some are more healthy than others, but many of these branches grow wild, grow toxic, and end up being broken or disconnected from the primary healthy vine. Now, if you want to be a healthy branch, The way that it works is that we only bear spiritual fruit of the good life that God intends for us. All those things that we just talked about, like fulfillment, contentment, peace, joy, etc., etc. If you want to be that kind of healthy branch that experiences that kind of fruit, you must be connected to the primary, healthy, true vine. And that when you connect to this true vine, that you are tended, you're watered, you're cultivated, you're nurtured and protected by the true gardener, and you will flourish in life. And so, as we think about ourselves as branches that spread out from this beautiful vine, there's more to this promise that God gives us. And the best part is, something happens as we stay connected. Let's look at again at verse 4 and read onwards. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. In verses 4 and 5, what Jesus is talking about there is staying connected to Christ. The same way that a branch connects to a tree, that when we connect in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ daily, through trust, through obedience, through talking with Him on an ongoing basis, that fruit grows naturally. And I want you to get this picture, because this is very, very key. If there's nothing else you hear this morning, you need to hear this. A branch doesn't have to strive to produce grapes, does it, when it's connected to the main vine? If the soil is right and it stays connected, fruit happens naturally. Let me say that again. When a branch stays connected to the vine, fruit happens naturally. You see, in verse 6, when you disconnect from this source of nutrients and life and you kind of pull yourself back, nothing can possibly grow. A branch just withers up and kind of curls up into itself and dies. Apart from God, you and I cannot become or grow into the person that God intends you to be without Him. And we can't experience the fullness of joy and love and life that you're looking for, because you were created to do life with God. It's not a branch that kind of periodically, well, I'll plug into the vine and get some nutrients and get some fruit. Okay, doing okay. Now I'm going to unplug and go wander around and just to see how the vineyard's doing. Hey, Mr. Leaf, how are you doing this morning? No, that's not the way that a branch works. It stays continuously plugged in to the vine, because once you remove it, it's dead. You were created to do life with God. And without staying connected, you can gain the whole world but lose your soul. And you lose everything of lasting worth and value in the process. And so if there's one point that you get this morning, that this is what's central to life, the life that you're looking for, stay connected and fruit happens in your life. Spiritual growth. All those things that we're talking about. I'm not talking about in this weird religious way. I'm talking about experiencing the reality of these qualities in life that God wants you to experience and to become the kind of person that you want. Spiritual growth is actually very simple. You stay connected to the Spirit of Christ and fruit happens. Moment by moment, you stay connected to Christ and He does the rest. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 and 22, our brother Paul writes about what that looks like. What does that kind of fruit look like in our lives? And he says, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what the sinful nature craves. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. You see, you don't have to try so hard to change yourself by force of your will, but you just focus on one thing. Stay connected to Christ, and fruit happens. So as you begin your day, maybe you woke up this morning, and or maybe like on your day of work or school, you get up in the morning and you kind of, as your day begins, you stay connected by focusing on Christ, talking to Him and saying, right here, right now, in this moment, thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus, for wanting to do life with me, for wanting to guide me and comfort me and teach me and love me. There are moments, though, that I don't feel like loving you, God. And so, as I talk to you, maybe I don't feel like it, but I'm going to try and stay connected anyways. Just like I would if it was my husband or wife, there are moments when I don't feel like I love them, but I can choose to try. And what we find with God is that when we are willing to connect, that He is so willing to respond and kind of pour into us a desire and a delight and a joy of experiencing Him. And so I want you to think about yourself when you are cranking out work. Maybe you don't feel like you want to connect with God. Try it. When you are sitting in this ungodly mess of traffic sometimes and you don't feel like connecting with God, try staying connected for just a brief moment. When you don't feel like being patient with people who rub you the wrong way, who are just getting on your last nerve, connect to God for a brief moment and see what happens. You don't have to be perfect for God to enter into life with Him. That's the message of Christ, that you can let Him into the mess of your life and He will begin to reorient you and direct you and do things in your life that you can't do for yourself. You see, being a Christian or a follower of Christ isn't about being a good person, about making yourself behave in the right way. But when you connect to Christ, things naturally start happening in your life because the source of the nutrients and the power and the life that you're looking for are all from Him. It all starts with connecting with Him. And so we need to train ourselves to be more aware of His presence and stay connected with God through our very honest conversations. That's why I'm encouraging you to use a watch that beeps every 60 minutes. Or, you know, grab some of those. In the back we have like these magnets that say 60-60 on it, or these little stickers. There's tons of them. Go ahead and grab some of those on your way out and stick them in places where you'll remind yourself, I need to connect with God so that I can reorient my life and acknowledge His goodness. And I want you to think about how much might my life change if I realize that I'm not alone, that I'm connected to the love and power of the only one who fully knows me, who completely understands me, who sees my potential, who is on your side, and is always there for you. You see, God created us to do life with Him right now, moment by moment. While your mind is starting to wander away and you're starting to think about, like, what am I going to have for lunch? And boy, this message is really long and boring. As your mind starts doing this dialogue, instead of having a dialogue with yourself, I want to challenge you to connect in dialogue with Christ. Because I want you to think about it in this way. You can't change your future. You can't really, you know, control your future. Everybody knows that there are things that you try to plan for and you try to do, but, you know, things tend to spin out of control. You can't control what's coming ahead. You can't change what's behind. But if I can have just one good moment with Christ, where I'm living faithfully with Him, followed by another good moment, followed by another, then what you end up having at the end of the day is a good, faith-filled, fruitful day, full of peace, joy, goodness, self-control, all those things. And if you have one good, fruitful day, and then you have a fruitful tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day, you end up becoming all that God intends you to be. It's simple, but I know that it's difficult, staying connected and willing. So the question, of course, is, what does it look like to remain in Christ? There's a clue in verse 7 that we just read, that it's not just about, you know, remain in Him by just talking and doing this and that, but also that His Word remains in you. But I want to read onwards. Let's look at verses 9 and 10. It says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in His love. You see, in verse 9, Jesus talks about how He has this deep love for you and I. And it's the same as His Father's love for Him. And so He wants you to experience all that love that He experiences from His own dad, God the Father. He wants you and I to be plugged into that and experience that from Him. And so when we ask the question, well, how do I remain in His love? How do I abide in His love? The key, is in verse 10, where Jesus says, if you obey my commands, then you will remain in my love. You see, Many times when I was serving in ministry, not just with young people, but even with adults, everybody wants to know, what is God's great plan? What is God's grand will for my life? But it's funny, because we want to know, what are all the big things, the big picture things that God has in store for us? And God, if you're going to lead us this way and that way, then, oh, I'll definitely go there. You want me to be an astronaut? Okay, next president of the United States? Definitely, I'll follow all those things. Just tell me what to do. But the problem is, we want all these great big things that God tells us or to give us to do, but we need to start with the little things that God tells us to do. You see, how can God entrust you with the big things of life if you and I are not faithful with the little things in life? And so what Jesus is telling us here is that we need to not only hear what he's saying, but respond to it. There's this relational aspect of when you're connected with someone, when you trust them and they give you something to do, that you would obey and do it. And so when you're prompted, say you're at work and you have somebody who is very difficult to deal with, somebody who gives you a hard time and doesn't do what they're told to do, and they claim all the credit for all the work that you do. And then you connect with God and you turn to God. God, I am so frustrated. I want to kill this person right now. But Lord, as I'm having this ongoing, honest conversation with you, I need your help. And then God prompts your heart. Respond with kindness, just for a moment. Will you obey that? When God prompts your heart to be generous, just for a moment, will you be faithful with that? And et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I had one young man who was sharing with me, I asked for permission and gave me permission to share this story, about his struggles with lust. And it's especially hard for teenage young men sometimes. And he was telling me that he basically felt, you know what, I think I'm addicted to online pornography. I can't stop looking at it and I can't stop thinking about this kind of stuff. And as he was doing his 60-60 experiment, he was sharing with me that every 60 minutes, you know, I'm turning to God, but still at the end of the day, I'm still, you know, when nobody's watching and nobody's looking, that I'm still surfing the internet for pornography and indulging my lustful desires, and I don't know how to stop. But as he continued, after about a week, he found that, you know what, it's pretty hard to desire and turn to pornography when I'm turning to God every 60 minutes. Every time I watch beeps, it reminds me that I need to go and spend time with God. It gets harder and harder. And what he was finding also was that, you know, there are moments where God isn't telling me, you need to quit lusting and quit indulging in your sinful desires for the rest of your life if you want to come follow me. That's not what God was prompting him about. But in this moment, this one moment, will you obey me just for this one time? And so he was sharing with me something that he prayed. He said, Lord, I can't promise that I'll always get it right. But at this moment, right here, right now, I'm willing to obey. And it's been amazing as I've been talking with him. Is he always successful? No. But God is doing something in him, changing something in him. He's beginning to experience peace and fulfillment without needing this long jack or this temporary thing to plug into. Now, the question, of course, is, how do I know when it's God speaking to me and it's not just my own thoughts or maybe some societal influence or church influence, or maybe I'm just insane, you know, and I hear voices in my head? Or how do I know it's not the enemy, Satan, telling me what to do? And what Jesus says is, if you obey my commands, what he's talking about is a familiarity with the Word of God, the Word of Christ, Christ's commands. They act as a filter to help us recognize the voice of God. When is he speaking into my heart? When is he speaking into my life? It's kind of like some of you who are older enough remember those Where's Waldo books, or those of you who have kids, that annoying, bespectacled little man with a red and white striped shirt and a goofy hat. And the goal of these books is page after page after page of noisy, busy, overcrowded scenes that drive me insane. I hate this book so much. And the truth is, these Where's Waldo pages that are so busy and overcrowded, they're kind of like your life and mine. Our lives get so busy and overcrowded with so many things. But somewhere in these books, in the jungle of people on each page, Waldo, that funny little guy with the hat, is lurking, and you have to spot him. Now, at first, it's pretty hard. It's pretty annoying trying to find Waldo because you can't really see him, but Waldo's there. And the thing is, the more you practice the easier he becomes to spot. Maybe you've noticed. Soon you're able to retrain your eyes to look at the page in a new way, and you're able to spot him faster and faster. The same goes for our awareness of God's presence. Your Creator is with you right now. Have you noticed? We must learn to become aware in new ways and practice over time, and it gets easier and easier. And the way that we develop eyes to see and ears to hear is a willingness to respond to and obey His leading, to practice recognizing His voice by filtering it through what He said before, in His word, in His commands. Obey my commands. How do you know when something that God puts into your heart or that's put into your mind is from God? Does it match up with God's previous words and commands? Because He never contradicts Himself. It's kind of like voice recognition software, for those of you who are more tech-savvy than myself. Now, I'm not talking about you using the voice recognition software, but think of it as you are the computer. I'm not saying that you're a robot and that you need to be like a brainless zombie that's just programmed by God, but just bear with me for a sec. You're the computer, and you need to be able to recognize the user's voice. But the only way that you can is through this voice recognition software. And the way that it works is before the computer can understand its user, it comes with like a kit that has a microphone and software and training material to familiarize the software with the user's voice. So you spend about 15 minutes speaking into the microphone so that the computer starts to recognize your voice, your speech patterns, and your enunciation. And what I've read online was that the more time that you spend using this software and training it and listening to it, then the more the computer is able to recognize its voice. And that's what God's Word does for us. If we were the computer, it helps us familiarize ourselves with God's voice. As you trust and respond to Jesus' words and His will, what we call obedience, we connect very deeply with Christ. Now, I want to share one last verse for you. Let's look at verse 11, and we'll wrap it up for today. Verse 11, Jesus says, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Let me read that one more time. I've told you this to, you know, obey and blah, 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 et cetera, and remain in my love, so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. If you feel comfortable with it, and if you brought your own Bible, don't do this in a church Bible, is take a pen and circle that word so. That word so. It's packed with a lots of meaning. And what it's saying to us is that it means that this thing leads directly to that thing. This thing causes this, so that this happens. And so it is a promise directly from Christ. What it's saying is that when we respond willingly to the Word of God and to Christ's commands, when we're willing to do the things that I've spoken, that's what Jesus is referring to when He says, I've told you these things, and it refers back to the last verse, that the things that I've spoken, the commands and words of God, the end result is always joy. You see, a lot of times people are afraid to do God's will because they think, God's going to hold out on me, or, you know, if I say, God, okay, I'll go your way, then I'm going to miss out. God's going to take all the good things out of my life that I really enjoy, that He's going to give me second best, or that He's going to give me the things that I don't want. He's going to give me, it's like, you know, having a parent that gives you, well, medicine is good for you, and vegetables are good for you. No, you can't have pizza. No, you can't have a hamburger. That's how we feel about God sometimes when we think about Him and doing His will and Him giving us His best. You're going to have to take a risk. You're going to have to trust. You're going to have to learn that He is good and all about loving you and I, that He's giving exactly to you what you want, what you really need, and what you're really looking for out of life. And here's the clue, that in this verse 11, He doesn't promise that you're going to get your medicine and take your lumps, but He promises that you will experience joy, good things, happiness in Christ. I'm not talking about that kind of weak, temporary, empty calorie kind of joy that we settle for. In Job chapter 20, verse 5, Job says that one of Job's friends says to him, the mirth of the wicked is brief. The joy of the godless lasts but a moment. I'm not talking about that temporary kind of happiness. But Jesus has a purpose in having you remain connected to Him. when you're willing to do His will in your life, you'll experience the kind of joy and life that lasts, that fulfills you in the way that you were meant to experience deep, abiding joy. The main thought for this morning is that when you'll experience real joy in life by staying connected with Christ when we're willing to trust and obey Him moment by moment. There's a diagram up here, and that's what it looks like. When we respond to the words of Christ and His commandments, when we respond to His will, and we're willing to do it moment by moment, then we get connected to Christ. And when we're connected to Christ, we experience the kind of life that we were meant to, filled with a deep, abiding, lasting joy. I hear people complain about not feeling close to God very frequently in my line of work. People are not sure that they can trust Him or that He cares about you. But I've found that a lot of times when I talk to people about why they feel that way, they've never made a deep commitment to staying connected to God in their daily lives. And a lot of times when we do take our time to communicate with God, it's all one-sided. As if God is a genie from the movie Aladdin. You rub the lamp, give me this, give me that, and we give our laundry list of things that we'd like God to do for us. But it's a one-sided conversation instead of listening and allowing Him to speak to us. Instead of doing life with God, like having a relationship with a person, by listening and responding and being willing to do His will, it becomes a religious formality, a ritualistic meeting of, dear God, thank you for this day, thank you for the good things in life, and also could you give me this if it's not too much trouble, amen. A lot of times it becomes that kind of formal religious ritual. And what I'm deeply convinced of this morning is that God desires from you an unrehearsed, gut-level, rigorously honest conversation with Him throughout every moment of your day. Since I've been doing this 60-60 experiment along with you, I can't explain to you, you know, not because I'm a pastor, not because I'm a great follower of Christ, but how many times over and over and over I've experienced things from Christ I really never expected. Even last night, I was a little bit concerned this morning because as a pastor, it's my job to do a couple of things. I don't have to be good at basketball. Don't have to be good at sports. I don't have to be good at technological things. I don't even have to be that bright, to be honest with you. But I have to be able to come up and at least give a sermon once a week, right? That's at least the bare minimum requirement for a pastor. But yesterday, usually I'll kind of touch up my messages on Saturday morning and evening, bless you. And yesterday, we had our board meeting from very early in the morning. That took all the way up until past lunchtime. And right after that, I had to rush out. And Melissa and I met up with her mom and brother, and we went to Open Chinatown to get her engagement ring resized. And so we're rushing around in Chinatown trying to get all these things done. And then right after that, Melissa and I were kind of on the clock. We had to rush back home and grab some stuff and then rush over to one of my brother's house because we had bought as a Christmas present for my family tickets to see a musical. And so we rushed, dinner, and this and that. And, you know, by the time that we got home from San Francisco on BART, and I had gone from the Dublin BART station to drive Melissa home and then drive myself home, it was about 1:30 in the morning. I thought, you know what, I'm not going to work on this message anymore. And I was thinking to myself, wow, there's so many things that I have to get done throughout the day. And just like you, I'm very busy, and things kind of take their toll on us, and we have a lot of worries and stress. And then as I was praying through it, God, please help me with this message this morning. Please make it better than it really is, you know? And as I was praying this kind of weird prayer, I felt God starting to tug at my heart, because it was funny, because it was about, I would say, 2 in the morning. You know, I was ready to drift off, and I said, you know what? I'm not going to have a conversation with God tonight. I'll talk to you in the morning, Lord, you know? But as I started to drift off, my watch on my nightstand, beep, beep. No, I won't do it. I'm really tired. And then as I turned my thoughts back towards God, hi, Lord, I'm really, really exhausted. I didn't have enough time to work on the message. And then God started speaking to me, reminding me of, what did we just talk about on Friday night? You gave the message for me. And I was like, okay, God, you know, about, you know, that we come before God in humility, that it's not about us, that we don't base our value on our performance and our worth on those things that I can do, but learning to rely on God as humble as a child. And as God was speaking to me, there was a brief moment where God said to me, kind of just tugging at my heart, are you willing to let this go for me? And I got to tell you, there was a moment I was kind of like, don't make me say yes, because I won't. I'm going to get up as early as I can and work on the message. Yes, Lord. I'll let it go. I'll let you speak instead of me. At that moment, when I was willing to do what God says, to let it go, to obey His command, to be humble as a child and not rely on myself, I can't express to you the deep joy and happiness that came washing over me, that my value isn't in my performance, that it's not about me, but my life isn't even about being a great pastor, but that my life is about enjoying being connected to the one who loves me more than any other. That is God's deep desire for you. That you would stay connected in brutally honest, continuous conversation that allows God to do for us what we can't do for ourselves. And so the goal this morning is, would you stop talking, just talking to yourself in your head, and enter into a conversation with the God who created you for Himself, to be connected with Him as a branch to a vine, to get honest with God, to process whatever is most on your mind throughout the day, to keep your mind open to His thoughts. This is how we begin to develop an authentic relationship with the living God. And He will honor that effort, even when you're as weak as I am. And so I want to encourage you to remember just two things when you practice the 60-60 experiment, that you would learn to turn to God, thank Him for how much He puts His love and goodness into your life. And other than thanking Him, be willing to do His will moment by moment. And you know His will when you're familiar with His voice and His commands. You see, I want you to think about your real life. There's going to be times that your stress level reaches the red line because of your schoolwork or because of your job. And when your watch chimes in class or at your job place, or when maybe you see a sticker on your computer to remind you, are you aware God is here? As you have an open conversation with God, even as you are rushing to meet some kind of deadline, speak to God. Lord, I'm getting wound up here. I'm feeling burdened. If I remember that Jesus said to me in Matthew 11 that life, the life you want to give me isn't supposed to be this burdensome, so I'm doing something wrong here. Help me. Show me how to do it your way. Maybe you'll be right in the middle of a wrong thought or sinful action, and you know it's wrong. The temptation is, I'm going to hide from God. But do you really think that's possible, to hide from our Creator? No, of course not. In fact, it's actually detrimental to us. Instead, I want you to, even in the middle of your sin, open up the communication lines and ask God, God, what am I doing? I know this isn't your will. Thank you that because of Christ, you forgive me for even this too, right now, this moment, so I don't have to hide. Come help me. Help me do the next right thing. You see, when Jesus was asked what's most important in life, Jesus answered just two simple things. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength. And the second most important thing is like it. The second most important command, love your neighbor as yourself. The point of life is relationships. Loving God and loving people sums up what God created us for. And everything else that's written in scriptures is just commentary on what that means. As we learn to reorient our moments to stay connected with God, as God leads us, you may be thinking, can I really talk to God like this? Is it really okay? Next time, we'll look at how we can stay connected and pray and start to understand how much God cares about every aspect of our lives. But this morning, I just want you to focus on what would it look like if my life was connected intimately to the one who wants to give me life the way that he intends it to be. Let's pray. God, our Father, I want to thank you this morning. Thank you for keeping eyes open and awakened. I ask, God, that you would help us to hear you. I know that this is a pretty familiar message for most of us, that we all understand that we're supposed to have some kind of relationship with you, or whether we're Christians or not. We hear it from people all the time. And so I don't know how to convince people with simply words that this is the real deal. That when we're willing to respond moment by moment, that we'll be connected with you and that we'll experience the deep, rich joy of life as you intend. And so, God, I won't try to convince anymore. Will you show people? Will you give them the courage? Even though we fall down and we forget to turn to you hour after hour, maybe two-thirds of our day we forget. But when people do turn to you, will you show them? Please, Lord Jesus, that there's nothing better, that this is what we were created for, that this is how life was meant to be done. Bless your people in Jesus' name.